383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you. Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning. You see, I have to turn the microphone on before I start the show. Thursday morning. Oh, goodness gracious. Thursday, 21st, 2024, 12 minutes past the hour. 24 degrees and sunny skies. The temperature is on rise. How about that? Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Having an interesting conversation before we went to break there about Mike DeWine endorsing Bernie Moreno and President Trump for the fall. That took about a whole 24. I don't even think it took that long. Since the election ended on Tuesday night for DeWine to make that endorsement. But you know what? That's politics. I mean, it just is. What more can you say? 13 minutes past the hour, 24 degrees here. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I did want to mention there during the break, I got a message from Mary, who's out there listening, and her daughter has a page on Facebook, Casey's Cheesecake and Delights. Boy, these are some great works of art as well. Speaking of culinary things that look delicious, let's put it that way. Some great things here with looks like peanut butter and strawberries and all kinds of good stuff. You know, I'm good for the strawberries and the vanilla. Not much of a chocolate person. Now, I'm not saying I would never eat chocolate. I'm just not much of a chocolate person and not much of a peanut butter person. But I will say that, boy, that strawberry looks pretty good. If that's vanilla in there, or do you call cheesecake vanilla? I'm not even sure. Looks all very good. And this from a conversation earlier in which I was saying Bailey, who was actually the first Bailey Hunt, who was the first host of the Friday night program, is doing some amazing things. And I sent her a message there during the break because she sent me some pictures of her cakes. My goodness, is she doing some stuff. I'm hugely impressed with what she's doing. So my hat is off to her, and maybe she'll send me a cake. And I can report back on that. See, that's the type of relationship you want with people who are from your past, who maybe you don't see a whole lot anymore. You're willing to take a cake from them and not worry about it being poisoned or tainted. That's exactly the type of relationship you want. So I thank Bailey for that. And again, we did hear from Carrington. She's back. And again, she might be back Friday night. I'm not really sure. If she's not back tomorrow night, the reason will be is because we've got somebody else. But she'll be back soon. 740-751-4038. The axe has not fallen on, you know, now that I think of Bailey and other people from Friday night, the axe fell a few times, but certainly not on or Matt, for that matter. But again, phone lines are open, talking about the interview with Mayor Schertzer yesterday, talking about March Madness. I've picked Grand Canyon to win, even though I don't know anything about football. Talking about the eclipse, talking about DeWine endorsing Trump and Bernie Moreno 24 hours after the election. Davidson beating Kerr Murray, the incumbent, and Jason Schauber, 740-751-4038. All right. Go ahead, caller.
So Carrington did not get the axe.
No. People have gotten the axe in the past on the Friday night show, but Carrington is still with us. What happened was I thought she was going to be on vacation longer than she was, And so we set a guest host up for this Friday. So I don't know if she'll come in with the guest host or not, but she surely will be back the following Friday.
Did she say where she went?
You know, I think she did. She went to Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so where was like?
Yeah, no, I've never been to Hawaii, but Rich had some friends and family that.
Yeah, and it was one of those trips that I think was highly anticipated because it was booked way back, I think in December, this was booked. So, you know, I think she waited on it for a long time, so she was very excited by the time it got here. And she had been over, when did she leave? I think she left this past Tuesday, but a week ago Tuesday. And she had been over at my house on Sunday, and she was just so excited. And it was so cool to see that excitement about a trip in somebody. I got to take a trip because, you know, Carrington went to Hawaii. Jessica went to Jamaica. Yeah, I got to go down the street or something.
Yeah, you can go to broadcast live from the shores of Allen Creek.
Well, if you know, it's interesting because if the WWE can finally get a deal here in these negotiations, I would imagine that Friday, April 5th show would emanate from via about 10 minutes from Constitution Hall and the Liberty Bell.
Hey, there you go.
So Friday, April 5th.
Have you ever been there?
I was there 2021.
Okay. Yeah, Philly's a unique city. I think it was one of the largest little cities. And the skyline is, you know, a lot of the buildings are still, you know, historic. And, you know, they're not skyscrapers. I mean, they have some. But it's a unique town for sure.
You know, I'll tell you two things about that. Constitution Hall was great. The Liberty Bell was great. But what I found most fascinating was Ben Franklin's grave. Because in the middle of all these concrete down there is the gray, a tiny, tiny graveyard that I'm sure at one point was a much bigger graveyard. Franklin's grave. And to me, for him to be buried so close to Constitution Hall, and this man who really did so much with and for the Constitution and this country recognized all over the world, to see his grave probably is more important to me than any president, really. Because I don't think Ben Franklin gets the credit he deserves. But another side, this will tell you how, I hate to bash the newspaper. Now that said some good things about them this morning. And I don't think this is a bash because it was people in the past. It's not the people who are there now. But I know, here we go. I took a picture in front of the Liberty Bell while I was there. And when it was a close to a year or maybe even more than a year after that had happened, they ran a story on me. And the picture they chose to take was me and the Liberty Bell. Now, that's okay. I mean, you know, because I know they take pictures from, they don't bring you in to take pictures anymore. They just take them from Facebook and say that you submitted them, and that's fine. So it was me and the Liberty Bell. Then there were like two more stories that summer on me, and every time they use me and the Liberty Bell. And I kept thinking to myself, now, these stories are about, all of them were about broadcasting. There are about four of them. And I thought, what does the Liberty Bell have to do with broadcasting? You couldn't find a picture of me with a microphone?
Maybe it was a good picture of you.
I don't know. It was very odd. Every time they ran a story, they're me and the Liberty Bell.
That's your new professional photo.
I think it is. I don't know what it means. Maybe we're both cracked is what it is. I don't know. I didn't know what the significance was.
You should print out a stack and then autograph them and give them out to people randomly.
Well, I really feel that I should because it became popular. And you know what? I'm not saying I never wear a bow tie, but it's a rare thing. But for some reason, I had a bow tie on in that picture. So I got a bow tie and I'm in front of the Liberty Bell.
I look like I should be serving, like, Constitution cakes to, like, a group of people there eating or something.
That was after you took the photo.
That was after I took the photo, yeah. After I took the photo, I got down and I maitre d'd for a few people there down in Kitchen Hall.
Oh, I'll have to look up this photo.
Yeah, if you look up the article, well, actually, best place to find it's going to be on Facebook because Marian Starr doesn't archive very well anymore. But if you go back to 2021, if you get on my Facebook and look through the pictures, it's I think it's like March of 2021.
All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah, and then you can comment on that tomorrow.
Right, I will.
Yeah, now, Mayor Schertzer.
Yes.
Did you have any idea that's who the surprise guest was?
No, I thought it was going to be Schauber.
Oh, yeah, that would have been good, too. Race. That would have been. But no, people from him in 3 months, and he's more because he was working for the Thomas campaign, and I was aware of that, and he wanted me to have Thomas on, so I did. And he was there during that entire interview, and when it was over, he had said, I'll come in next week. So I didn't feel it was necessary to point out that he was there during the Thomas interview, because I thought that was Thomas's time, and I knew Mayor...
Because I asked him, remember?
I do remember that.
Yeah,
I do.
Hey, have you heard from Schertzer? Need to get him on. Okay.
No, right, but I think it was prior to that interview, because Thomas was on Thursday, so I think you asked that on Wednesday, wasn't it?
It probably was. Yeah.
So at that point, I had heard from him, but I don't think we didn't book the interview after Thomas on Thursday. So I don't think I lied, but you never can tell. I'm a shifty guy with a bow tie in front of the Liberty Bell.
Right.
Yeah.
A cracky guy.
So we had him on. I think we went through every question possible. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, I'm glad that he came on and gave the updates. I mean, he talked about the park.
What'd you make of that?
Well, I think it's kind of crazy to change the name. You know, we've talked about that before. So,
but did he sound happy about that to you?
No.
No.
Would you be?
No, but I kind of got the impression when I was told what had happened, that it was an administrative park and only the administration can change the name and not the parks board. I always got the impression that because a logical explanation that Mayor Schertzer was not angry about it. Well, you know, I don't even think he believes that explanation at this point.
No, I don't think most people would.
Why would you? And I don't even exactly did it. He didn't tell me flat out. I think we can read between the lines, though. Why would you do? I mean, we're talking petty, petty, petty.
So who do you think did it?
Now, if you think I'm going to answer that, you are nuts.
Well,
you should go to the Liberty Bell with a bow tie on and get some pictures taken if you think I'm going to
do
that.
I will. Next time I'm there, I'm going to do that.
I don't know
when I'll get there, but
you know, I think everybody knows who he was referring to yesterday. Because
has this person ever been on your show, or has this person been on your show since January?
Well, into those questions again. Read between the lines.
All right.
Who do you think it was?
Well, I think the implication would be Mayor Collins, right?
I think that's what his implication was. I hate to say what somebody's implication was, but because they are giving an implication because they didn't want to say it outright. I don't know. That's what I got from it. Because I don't know who else in the city would have had the power or motive to do that.
No, I agree.
But and Mayor Schertzer called it petty. He said he didn't take it personally because he's learned not to in politics, but he called it petty.
Did he say that it still shows up as Schertzer Park on Google Maps?
On Google Maps. And that was another excuse, apparently, as to why they had to change it back, because on Google Maps it was still showing up as Founders Park. So there you go.
Oh, okay. I thought it was still saying Scherzer Park on Google Maps.
It does. But he was giving the excuse that they had to change it back to Founders Park because it says Founders Park.
Ah, gotcha.
So that was another excuse.
Yeah, that's sad. There's so many more pressing issues facing the city.
Well,
maybe that was top of the list.
Well, like I
said, ignore the fact that we have these IRS penalties. Ignore the fact that we have an auditor who admits that she's incompetent. Ignore the Sunshine Law violations. Oh, but by God, we have to go change the name of this park.
Well, the thing of it was, for me, here, I think I even said this when I asked him, this may seem trivial in regard to everything we're talking about, but, you know, having a park named after you is a big deal. And was one of two longest-serving mayors in Marion history, and the other mayor does have a street named after him, Kellogg Park. And to do that, to actually go to the trouble to do it and order a sign, and people knew it, and it is done, and then to yank it back, I mean, and not really have any kind of good explanation as to what you're doing that. I mean, that, if nothing else, it's like I said, he's got two young daughters, he's got a wife, he's a mother. I mean, it didn't just impact him. And what is the point? I've never heard of somebody changing the name of a park and somebody having a problem with, gotta change it back. It probably costs more money to order the new Founders Park sign than it would have just to leave it the way it was.
Did they have a sign that said Scherzer?
Yes. Sign that explained Mayor Scherzer's career and why the dedication was done and all that.
Did they at least, like, bequeath it to him?
You know, I didn't ask him that.
Probably using it for target practice at the Marion PD.
I just, to me, when we're talking about politics and, you know, I mean, what does that even do? Is take a jab? I don't know. You know, people who do that better watch out because it could be done to them. And I don't think anybody, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, I don't think deserves that kind of treatment.
No. We're much too inclined to tear things down nowadays. You know, views and everything else. So why don't we leave something up? You know?
Well, you know what it reminded me? It reminded me, like this morning, you know, here I got this, last night, started having a conversation with Bailey, who used to be on the show. Now, people think that maybe we don't get along because she's no longer around. We get along just fine. And she's sending me these pictures of cake she's making. And, you know, what am I supposed to do? Dislike her because she's not around anymore and pick little petty fights with her? I mean, what's the point of that? And that's how I see this, because that was a professional relationship. Whatever relationship Mayor Scherzer had with whoever yanked the sign is a professional relationship. Having the best professional relationship or personal relationship at that time, that's what you do. You track her. And I don't understand that.
When did they change it? What day do you know?
Changed it.
Changed it back to Founders Park.
You know, I don't know the exact date, but it was definitely after the first of the year.
Probably retaliation for the veto.
Well, you know.
That's probably what it was. Vetoed our huge pay increase when we're, like, in the horrible financial shape. What can we do to get back at him? Oh, let's take the name from his park.
Well, you know, speaking, that is one thing we can speak directly to, because Mayor Scherzer, I believe, did talk about that today, that, you know, prior to him leaving office, there was he always said that he thought the city would be in okay hands with Eric Collins. that Mayor Collins had been in conversation with him about what to do and getting tips and so on and so forth. And apparently after he left office from January 1st until yesterday, no communication at all.
And the situation is troubled, and I think everybody would agree with that. They may not want to broadcast it, but you've got somebody who, if he put himself out there and he was being genuine, that he was there to advise and assist in any way that he could. He was in office for what? Was it 16 years?
16.
Yeah. I mean, take advantage of that resource. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, listen to his counsel or implement anything that he says, but, you know, the man had been around in this area leading the city of Marion for 16 years. I would see him as an excellent, you know, excellent resource.
Let me tell you what's happened here, in my opinion. Now, this is just my, because I don't mind, because this is not a political opinion. This is a personal, this is a sociological opinion. Here's what I believe happened. I believe somewhere there was some trauma in that relationship. Now, it could have been New Year's Eve. Witnessed the back and forth about, you know, you tell me about the deal with the auditor, you tell me about whose house you stopped by, all. So, maybe that was it. There was a little bit of trauma in this relationship, and then it just went silent, and now no to each other. So it's going to remain traumatized until somebody talks to each other, because the only way to fix that is communication. And people don't seem to understand that. You can have all kinds of trauma with somebody. The only way to fix it is to talk to them. And then everything's fine, usually. Everything, oh, you know, why were we even angry with each other? Why was that going on? But nobody talks.
Or a good dust-up, you know.
Yeah, a good throwdown.
Let's raise money for this by having a boxing tournament.
Now, who would win that one?
I don't know. I mean, from what I last time I saw,
he'll be glad to hear that.
Yeah, no, I think that you'd have sell tickets. You could be the announcer.
Oh, I'll be there.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do it. Let's organize a full boxing match between Collins and Scherzer.
Dwayne can be the referee.
Yeah, well, no, I don't want Dwayne. I don't want Dwayne there. He'd probably make everybody wear masks.
No, he'd be good. A good stiff there in the corner. He can count to 10.
Right. Or we can use him as the bell. We can just ding his head.
I think, doesn't he look like a boxing referee?
I mean, he looks like a troll or a little goblin.
Well, you really got it. Don't you?
Do. I don't like
Dwayne. Oh, my goodness gracious. What would you...
But no, I think we should... That's what we should.
Don't you remember Wine was going to kick Blystone's can?
Yeah.
I remember that morning.
That. Yeah.
Tough guy.
So how much money could we raise, do you think, Scott?
Oh, for the mayoral boxing? You know, Jack Kellogg would have.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Get Kellogg in there. And then maybe one of the side, whoever wins, will get naming rights.
To the park, to the Founders Park. You know, it certainly would be a fundraiser, but I don't know how something like that happens. I really don't. It baffles me, boggles my mind. Okay.
Yeah. Nothing you can do about it.
No. Well, what'd you think of his son, the auditor? We got back into that little subject.
He didn't seem that he was confident that anything would happen.
No, but I thought he gave a very interesting plea to Ray Grogan.
Yes. But didn't you get the sense that he thought it didn't matter?
You know, I don't know, because he really said Ray is a man he thinks has integrity. He thinks would recuse himself if necessary. I don't know. I think he probably, from what I got, maybe there was some doubt, but I does have some faith that if something went wrong, that Grogan would take the steps that were necessary. And, Ray said the same thing. He said he would indict his mother.
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean, I have to believe him for now. I mean, until I find out otherwise.
And that's why I said the other day, we'll see how Miranda stacks up against his mother. That's why I said that.
I don't know where that's going. I think, and again, Scherzer said, nice person, fun to talk to, but maybe in over her head, I think is what he said yesterday. So there was that part of it.
How long's her term?
Four.
Oh, okay.
So she's only...
If it was 2 years, they could probably just draw out the investigation and then hope that she doesn't run for another term.
Well, Grogan said 30 days.
30 days?
Yeah, okay. He said... When I said, should we hear something in 30 days, he said, absolutely. So
what happened with Collins's budget and projects director? Did that get all passed?
I don't believe so. The budget director, I do believe that went through, yes. I believe it was the other position, which I can't remember was called. I think that one did go by the wayside.
The one that he didn't want anymore.
Didn't want anymore.
So basically we're having an auditor in actuality that's going to be probably an external candidate. Have they person yet?
Not that I'm aware of, but I have not been down there in about a month, so it's possible.
Okay. And did anything else happen with, like, the Sunshine Law violations?
No, I don't think that went anywhere. I don't think anything with Mayor Collins and Miranda, I don't think that went anywhere. I thought it was interesting that the mayor opened up on that again yesterday, that he certainly doesn't feel that everything was necessarily there.
What all did he say about that? I was listening live, and I didn't get a chance to re-listen in the evening.
Well, I remember asking him more about it, because sure, the deal was, I forget the word he used, but he basically said that it's still very cloudy and mucky, and he was glad it wasn't him. And, I don't know where that lands. That seems to have been put aside for the moment, for whatever reason. I don't know.
Well, who's going to potentially refer that?
Well, I would think that Miranda would be the one, but, I don't know that council ever delved any deeper because the whole issue with the auditor got much in much bigger things happen because of the possible misappropriation of funds, so I think it just kind of went by the wayside for a moment.
You would have to have one of those investigative agencies.
Yeah, and
start moving the ball on it.
And my guess would be that if she does get into some kind of or move from her position, that I would imagine that might become an issue again on to how this all happened.
Mm. Yeah. That'll be an interesting component for sure.
But I thought it was interesting that the mayor talked about Scherzer talked about running, helping Thomas run, and even though he lost on Tuesday night, that his choices are limited as to what to do because of the makeup politically in this area and where he's headed now. He said he had three choices: nonprofit, private sector, or political. I don't know. I think I think he's okay. I mean, I think he's okay. He seemed okay.
Oh yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. No doubt. And it'll be interesting to see where he does end up. But I would say political. I think when you get into it and you've been around for a little while, it's hard for you to up. Just like a radio man, right, Scott?
No, I think you can hang it up.
I thought you said that talking to Madge, and she wanted to still be broadcasting at, like, 97.
Well, see, now, I don't know if she still wanted... Well, she... 97, she did her last broadcast with me at the charity ball. But I think what she said was... Because she retired at 65. And I think what she said was, you know, she wanted to. It was retirement age, so on. And her husband was not at the time. But she said that it felt like her arm had been cut off where the microphone was. So she certainly missed it. I think you miss it. I don't think there's any doubt that I would miss doing this every day. But I just think there's a point that you have to go. I don't know. I just think you should probably say that I've done that already.
You don't think you'll be, like, broadcasting live from the nursing home in, like, 40 years?
You know, maybe that's where I should draw the line, the nursing home, because I think remotes from the nursing home, all that beeping with those machines going off could be real trouble. I don't know, because the moment I say I would leave and then I don't, people will be all over me for it. But I don't know. I think broadcasting's fascinating right now, all the different avenues it's taking with the media and the people are using. I think it's fascinating. I still think there's a lot of fascinating things about. There certainly are a lot of interesting things to talk about. And I'll tell you, having Matt and Carrington around in particular, that's a whole different thing, because I've never been really involved in that, where you are trying to help two people along. So that's also been something that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you got potential caregiver for the future.
Thank goodness. Because Somebody's going to have to be there to pull the plug.
Be a better caregiver.
Oh. Are we talking about long-term or somebody just to pull the plug?
No, long-term, like changing bedpans, sheets.
Doesn't that sound like fun? Well, you know, Matt shows up late to everything, so, you know, that's not really something you want somebody to be late for. If you need to have some overflow. Yeah, or your medications due or something like that. You really don't want late for that. But you know, Carrington, though, I think she'd try to yank my plug while I was still well.
She probably would.
She would. So there's trouble there on all ends. Might have to be a joint effort.
Yeah, right. It probably would need to be a joint effort.
No, but you know, I just think that in this particular case, that, it would not surprise me if Mayor Schertzer went into a nonprofit. Or went into a business. I mean, if he really liked it, sometimes you can find joy in another thing that you never thought you would.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, and he's a very well-spoken, presents well. You know, there's no question that, and dedicated. So that's the makeup for success and whatever venture you want to do.
You know, and much like in broadcasting, I imagine politics is probably this way. There are days that you think, holy moly, why am I involved in this? And, you know, there are some mornings that I do this show that I think, boy, it seems like 2 hours that I've been here talking. And then there are other mornings where it's great. And you think, boy, that was fun. That was exciting. That was exhilarating. So I think it's just day to day. I think it's just ups and downs.
Yeah. What's the longest broadcast, like continuous broadcast, you've ever done, Scott?
Well, I don't know. There have been some really long ones. I remember one year we did a Labor Day, I think it was Labor Day radiothon. I know we did a Christmas radiothon once, not on Christmas Day, but season. And I think those went something like 7 in the morning, maybe until, oh, geez. It was rather late into the, I mean, not in early morning hours, but it was over 12 hours, I would say.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a lot to talk.
That's a lot. Now, I know I've asked you your favorites for different, you know, I think interviewers and things. What about broadcasters, like radio broadcasters? So would it be somebody like Paul Harvey?
You know what's sad? And I've always said this, and I think I've said this about even local broadcasters here who are in radio in Marion. This sounds horrible for somebody who ended up in radio broadcasting. But to be honest with you, I did not listen to any talk radio when I was younger. I did not listen to talk radio till I started working at a talk radio station.
You weren't a ditto head?
No. It's always funny to me because people say, well, did you, because a lot of the people I worked with were older, you know, like Madge, and they say, well, did you listen to Madge? No, I didn't listen to Madge. Did you listen to Charlie? No, I didn't. Did you listen to Jeff Ruth? No, I never listened to any of these people. And I think that's why it was easy for me to be friendly with them and also, you know, be able to ask them to do things where maybe some other people would have been, oh, this is the person I always listened to. I didn't listen to them. I didn't listen to National P. I didn't listen to talk radio.
You didn't at all. That's insane.
Yeah, no, I really, really didn't. So I could not tell you who. I mean, now I know of radio broadcasters. Had a lot of them on. So, I mean, I know who I think Cousin Brucey is very good for what he does. I think that Larry King was very good for what he did when he was on the radio. I think that certainly Paul Harvey, you mentioned, was very good. I think that Dr. Demento, for what he does, I think is very good. But, I don't know. I certainly didn't pay attention to any of them. I've heard them. But nothing. That's why I really feel like I am a novice at this career, really, because I never took a broadcasting class. I never took a journalism class in my life. I did not do that sort of thing when I was in high school or college. I did not listen to this stuff when I was younger until I worked in it. So really, it was all just happenstance and luck.
Does it come down to just having an inquisitive nature and being interested and just having a conversation?
Yeah, but I mean, there are technical things. When I told Matt, this is interesting. When Matt and Carrington came in, but I think I specifically said this to Matt. I said, Matt, I said, it's easy to be a guest. It's easy to be a panelist. But if you think I am doing is easy, then I'm doing it right. If it looks easy, then I'm doing it right. It's very difficult because I'm paying attention to the time. I'm paying attention to the caller or the guest. I'm paying attention to the soundboard. I'm paying attention to the phone. I'm paying attention to whatever topic we're talking about. I mean, you're doing about 18 different things at once. So if it seems easy, then you're doing it right. So it's more than just, I mean, curiosity you have to have. I don't think you can teach it. You have to be inquisitive. But there is a form to an interview. I think you get better at that as you go along. But there's a lot of technical stuff you've really got to learn. And persistence. I don't think you can teach persistence. I think some people have it and some people don't. Some people are very shy and can't be that.
Questioning or getting the interview?
Both. I think some people, after somebody says no, they never go back. And then I think some people who get the guest on don't ask questions either because they want to be liked or they don't want that person to get angry or that happens. And
have you ever had an interview end abruptly because they got a
you know, not off the top of my head, some contretemps over the years that the interview got. You know, I did think at one point that Jim Jordan hung up on me, but he called back, so I can't say that he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was, I did think, because we were in the middle of a, I mean, I'll just say without getting too deep into it, although I think people archives, we were talking about the wrestling OSU scandal, and I don't think it's a conversation he wanted to have, and the phone went dead at one point, and I thought he hung up, But he did call back, and we did finish the conversation. So,
on that topic?
On that topic.
Okay.
So I can't say that think he did. So that's the only one that comes to mind. I can't think of anybody else who hung up or walking out.
Now, can you do your best Paul Harvey's ending?
You know, I'll tell you something funny. It's the good day. Good day.
Yeah. Oh, he would say, and that's the rest of the story.
Oh, there's
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Yeah. It's that.
I thought that was pretty good, Scott.
It wasn't bad. But what did he do? I mean, what was that, though? What, I mean, was he trying to sound odd?
You remember it.
You do remember it. But, I mean, is it good? I don't know.
Yeah. I think anything that you remember, just like how we're talking about getting annoyed with all the political ads. And do you remember, I don't remember the guy's first name, but his last name was Pepper. You remember him? He was running for some state office.
David Pepper? Oh, yeah.
And then he had that television commercial, I don't know, probably 15 years ago, 10 years ago at least, and it more pepper, please. And I remember watching that commercial, and it was a political ad, and I was just like, this is stupid. I remember it.
But it stuck with you.
Right, it did.
But
not
you
for
know...
good reasons, but, yeah.
Well, you know, you don't contrive those things. I mean, maybe that was contrived, the political ad. Maybe that's contrived, but I don't think you contrive or realize you're doing something. Because, you know, for the first few years of this show, as we approach 10 years in June, I just had instrumental music. It's the same music that you hear every morning, but it was just the instrumental version, and I would just come on before it would end and say good morning. But at one point, Ted Williams came down and wanted to intro, and I thought that was good. So we put that Ted Williams intro in there, and subconsciously, apparently, I was doing the same intro every morning. Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, blah, 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 blah. And I did not realize it until something back to me one who was not a radio person. They were just somebody in my life at the time, and they did an imitation of me doing that. And I laughed because I never had thought about it. And it just became a thing. And
what about your exit phrase, heading to the dugout? Was that contrived, or did you just say it one time and then just kept on doing it?
Yeah, it was not. Well, I don't. You'll have. Here's the story on that if you want to know. How that became a thing was when I went to WMRN was Joe Nuxall. The old left-hander played for the Cincinnati Reds. And broadcaster, and his sign-off was, this is the old left-hander rounding third and heading for home. And I always thought that was a neat sign-off. So I interviewed him, and I believe it was when he died, because I interviewed him in the summer of, I can't remember the year, but the year he died, so somebody can Google that. I interviewed him like in July or August, and he died in November. So when he died in November, I interviewed his son, and I interviewed some people who had worked with him, remembering him. And because of that, I did not exit because I thought that would have been smarmy. But when I was doing those programs, I just said, Scott Spears heading for the dugout. And also, baseball's my favorite sport. And I did it while I was doing those tribute shows, and then I stopped. And then people said, why have you stopped doing that? So then I started doing it again, and then it just became a thing.
Well, you need a catchphrase, and I have one. Yeah, I was just curious what the origin story was.
Yeah, that's where they came from, and honestly, I probably would not have continued doing that if people did not say what happened to the dugout, because the first
have
time
you ever used other ones.
Well, people, you know, it's funny. People do remember, some who were with me in the early career. I used to go, and there's a reason for this as well, but I knew I was doing it. I used to do, when I would come on in the morning, again, it was the WMRN days, I would go, good morning, good morning, good morning. I would say it three times. People remembered that. Now, the reason I did that, there was a reason behind it. The reason I did that is because at WMRN, you had a being, you had a temperature reading right in front of you that wasn't on the internet. It was on a screen. You had a road report. You had things you had to stop, and there were far more commercials. You had a log. So I was new to radio. As I say, I never had a journalism class or a broadcasting class, so I was learning the what level to set your mic at and how to get somebody on a phone and on the air. You know, that was all new. So even though it doesn't seem like a whole lot of time, but three good mornings takes longer than one good morning, a second to glance over at the barometer. It gave me a second to glance over at the temperature. It gave me a second to glance over at the time to where I, because they were all in different places, and get my mic situated correctly to say all those things, you know, good morning, good morning, good morning. The barometer is 64 and the temperature is 74 and the winds are out. You know, it just gave me time to catch it quick because I was not the equipment. But people remembered that for a long time.
Well, that was good in innovation there to give you some extra time.
It was, yeah, it was improv. That right, I was using right. for my inadequacy. But yeah, so I think they, but I don't know if Paul Harvey's was contrived. I wouldn't like anything that was contrived. I don't know.
Did Jeff or Charlie have like intros or exits?
Jeff like? Did not. I work with Jeff I work with them both very close. Jeff, to my knowledge, did not. Charlie, I tell you what people used to make, I don't know if it's making fun or Jeff thanking all the Tradio callers. Thank you for calling in. That was something that I remember people making light of. Charlie, not that I know of. Certainly not when I worked with him. Maybe in his early career.
Yeah.
No, there was no signature that I remember. He had phrases that were very unique to him. But I don't, and you know what's funny? Every so often I'll hear one of his kids say one of those phrases, and I think, I know where that came from.
What comes to your mind the most?
He used to say, my lands. And that was my lands. That was something you didn't hear very often. I have to think about this. But he had some interesting phraseology, which is great for radio, to have your own vernacular.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely want to have a little bit of color in your broadcast.
And sure. and it's about time to say it. 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
All right,
well, a pleasure, Scott.
Hey, thank you for this day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source. I just made up that answer.
Then onward and upward.
You're always a little bit miffed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you. But at the same time, you have to look at yourself and see whether they're right or not.
Do you go home at night, Helen, and think, my goodness, this person said that, this person said that? Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that nobody likes criticism, but sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is...